Okay, great. 13 lines down. We'll go maybe two lines up from that, where it says Yeshua ben Levi. Okay, great. That's what you did. So we're dealing with different statements from Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, everyone should finish the parsha. Shnai mikra ve'echad targum. So we're familiar with that halacha. But then Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had other comments as well. V'izharu, everyone with me? V'izharu bivridin. Everyone with me? V'izharu bivridin. Kid Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi also shared with his children that they should be very careful to slice open the jugular vein when they're dealing with shechita. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Sheyishchot Es Avridin. You should slice open this vein as well, not just the kon and the veshet, but this vein as well. And the reason is because you want as much blood as possible to drain out of the animal and not be retained in the animal. So the process of extracting the blood is as effective as possible. Some discussion here, exactly what kind of shechita we're talking about. Maybe talking about where you roast the animal whole, or if you don't roast it, because if you cut up the animal, it's assumed that you're going to be able to drain out all the blood without a problem. But if you're going to roast it completely whole, so you want to make sure that you get areas that retain blood. You're not allowed to eat blood in halacha. V'yizharu bizakein sheshachach talmudo. And then he makes a statement that a person should be very careful with the kavod of an elder person that forgets their learning machmas onso. For reasons beyond their control, just a general cognitive deterioration of an individual who had was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So one might think that the kavod is for the knowledge, the kavod is for the understanding, the kavod is for the person's greatness in retaining all this Torah. They're a walking Sefer Torah. If they no longer remember anything that they learned, so then they're a regular person. So the Gemara says, no, you have to have very, very high levels of kavod for that person as well. Damrinon, as we say very beautifully, luchos v'shivrei luchos menachem ba'aron. That the aron did not just hold the luchos that had all the aseres hadibros on them, but the aron also held the broken luchos, where the letters were not completely whole. Why would the aron hold the broken luchos if the letters are not completely whole? So aside out of this context, so this is suggested as one of the proofs that when we look at human frailty, we should recognize that failure is also part of the ideals of growth. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam, the famous letter from Rav Huttner. Sheva Yipol, we've just had Rav Huttner's 25th Yahrzeit. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam, the Pasuk says. Not that a person falls seven times and then they get up, even though they fell seven times, but rather Sheva Yipol Tzadik, because a person falls seven times, V'kam, that's why they are able to get up. That failure is not something that detracts from success. Failure, when properly related to, elevates success. So not only are the regular luchos in, but the shivrei luchos, which represented Klal Yisrael's greatest sin of Chet HaEgel, that's also in the Aron, because part of our goal is to elevate it. Here, metaphorically, the shivrei luchos relate to the individual who's lost their learning. Rav Kook, in his Sefer Ein Raya, so he says that what's going on here is a deeper understanding of what really the impact of Torah is on a person. We are so used to relating to accomplishments in Torah relating to people's intellectual accomplishments. But when a person studies Torah properly and a person is immersed in Torah in a lifelong ambition of connection, so the Torah is not just an intellectual curriculum that they retain. The Torah impacts their very essence of who they are. And that's true for all of us. The Torah impacts who we are. So you go to a shir, you leave the shir, and 3 weeks later, someone asks you, do you remember what we said at the shir? And you said, I don't remember. Maybe the person giving the shir doesn't remember what they said at the shir. So does that mean that all of the sitting through the shir was worthless? Of course not. There is absolutely a mitzvah to remember what we learn. And we have to do chazara, and we have to avoid things that lead to shikha, that lead to forgetfulness. But nevertheless, when we study Torah, it impacts who we are. It's transformative. It shapes our outlook. It shapes our midos. It shapes our personality. So the Rav Kook writes, so the Talmud Chacham that may not remember the data anymore still retains all of the influence of the Torah on his essence and who he is. You don't just respect his information. You respect the impact of the information. And that's something that everyone could relate to. Amar lehu Rabba livnei, so Rabba said to his children, kshatem chotchim basar, a little advice, when you cut meat, al tichtechu al gav hayad. Don't cut the meat with the meat on your hand. Use a cutting board. Ikadamri, why is that? So some say, mishum sakana, because you're going to hurt yourself, and we don't want you to hurt yourself. Ikadamri, mishum kilkul, right? And some say, because of kilkul su'uda, because as much as we care about you not hurting yourself, even if you just accidentally hurt yourself, you'll end up being mekalkel, you'll end up ruining the food. You'll end up getting blood in the food. Ve'al teshva amitas aramis, and don't sit on an Arminian bed. What does that mean? Ve'al tabru achorei beis hakneses, and don't pass behind the beis hakneses. B'shash ha'tzibur mispalim, at the time that the tzibur is davening. Now the Gemara explains these two things. Ve'al teshva amita aramis, what does it mean to sit, don't sit on a mita aramis? Ikadamri, some say, lo signu below kriyashma. What it means is don't go to sleep like an aramis. Don't go to sleep without saying kriyashma al hamita. Don't view going to sleep as sort of just like the end of your day. There's an avodas Hashem to going to sleep. There's a way a Jew retires for the night, and that is through transitioning through kriyashma al hamita, which has been the subject of some discussion in our parak. So what it means is avoid marrying these gerim. There's a lot of discussion what exactly this means. There are communities where people literally avoid marrying gerim. It's a little bit hard to understand this Gemara in light of the like 15,000 times that the Torah tells us to love gerim and respect gerim and revere gerim and all those kinds of things. So presumably what the Gemara is trying to tell us is don't be flippant about people's status. Don't just presume that, oh, they're Jewish, good, we're good to go. Recognize that if someone elected and chose to become Jewish, as opposed to their Kedushas Yisrael being something that was passed down by Mesorah, then it is a noble and incredible and very high level, but just be sure that this is something that is completely 100% before moving forward with it. And some say, no, it's literally don't sit down on their beds. What's wrong with their beds? Mishum the mice of the Rapapa. We're worried about the story of Rapapa. What happened to Rapapa? The Rapapa, Azul Gabi Aramis, Rapapa who had lent money to this Aramis. So he goes to this woman, Hotzia Lomita Amrulashev, and he goes to collect, and I think from her husband, and she says, you know what? Why don't you sit down on this couch and we'll go get you the money? So Amr Allah, he says to her, "Any Yosha Ashtak Bias Amita, I'm not going to sit anywhere until you lift it up and show me what's there." Higbias Amita, Matzah Sham Tinok Meis. So they picked up the couch and they picked up the bed and they saw that there was a dead child. So what happened? They were trying to create some sort of libel, right? Trying to create some sort of libel. Mikan Amru Chachamim, from here the Chachamim say, Osaleshev Amita Saromis. So don't sit on Amita Saromis because these things happen. Val Tabru Achore Beis Aknesses. B'shash ha'tzibur mispalim. One should not pass by the back of the shul when the tzibur is davening. What's the problem with passing by the back of the shul when the tzibur is davening? Mesayele the Rabbi Shulman Levi comes to support the opinion of Rabbi Shulman Levi. Domer Rabbi Shulman Levi. Aselo la'adam shiyavor achorei beis hakneses b'shash ha'tzibur mispalim. It is forbidden to pass the Beis HaKnesses at the time that the Tzibur is davening. So why would that be so? So Rashi says, Asur Lavar, what's the reason? Shenire kemavriach atzmal mi Pesach Beis HaKnesses shebemizrach. The Batei Knesios in Babel faced in what direction? Faced west, right? Towards Eretz Yisrael. We face east because America is east, is west of Eretz Yisrael. So we face east. They faced it west. They faced west. So if a person, so the entrance to the shul was always in the back. So if you just kind of, if you're walking by the shul and you see the tzibur davening and you just pass by, what does it show? It shows that you don't care about tefillah b'tzibur. It shows that it was right in front of you and you didn't take advantage of tefillah b'tzibur. So Amar Abaye, so if that's the case, v'lo amran ela deleka pischa achrina. then that would only apply if there isn't another entrance. Aval iko pischa achrina lesam, but if there's another entrance to the shul, so then passing by the back entrance doesn't indicate that you don't care about tefillah b'tzibur. Just indicates you don't care about entering during in that particular entrance. Maybe you're going to a different entrance. So that objective act of passing behind the shul like that is not problematic. It's also talking about where there's no other shul. About Ika Be Knishta Achrina, but if there's another shul, less lamba. So I saw you come in the door to the shul, you see the shul, you look around, you see people davening and you leave. So is that an inappropriate thing to do? How can you leave? It's showing that you don't care about Tefillah B'tzibur. The answer is, it doesn't show you don't care about public prayer, because maybe you came in, you saw that we're davening, I don't know, Nusach Ashkenaz. There are 20 other shuls. You're going to another shul. So I don't have to worry about it. You're going to another shul. It says a shul, not another home. V'lo Amran El D'lo Dari. We have to start planting the seeds now. V'lo Dari Tuna V'lo Royed V'lo Manach Tfilin. It's also talking about where the person is not carrying a load, or they're not running in a hurry, or they're not necessarily wearing tefillin. About Ika Chad Me'anach Less Lamba. But again, if they're involved in any behavior that makes clear that they are not standing to the entrance of the shul in a manner that is disrespectful to the shul, but rather they are dealing with some other consideration that they have to deal with, so then that's not such a problem. Something to think about, right? In other words, the Gemara literally has a halachic discussion about not only having covered for tefillah b'tzibur, but even the perception that you don't have covered for tefillah b'tzibur is itself something problematic. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Amar Rabbi Akiva, b'shlosh dvarim oev anias medim. Three different ways I really like the medim people. Why? K'shecholken es habasar and cholken el agav ha-shulchan. When they cut meat, they only cut it on the table. K'shenoshkin einoshkin el agav ha-yad. Interesting. When they kiss out of respect, they only kiss on the hand. Rashi says, es yad chavero hu noshek. The Yad Chavero, he kisses the Derech Hashivos Zeh, who Zeh Mipnei Harok. And it's considered Hashivos because of the spit. In other words, it's not hygienic to go ahead and kiss, I guess on the cheek or on the mouth, but rather, out of respect, they kiss on the hand. The Kishe Yotzin, Ein Yotzin, Ela Bisade. And when they give Eitzah, when they're giving people advice, they only give Eitzah in the field. Rashi says, why? Get this, look at this, Rashi. De Amri Inshi Oznayim Lakotel. Because people say, the walls have ears. The walls have ears. In the last number of months that I've been home so much, my children, especially in the height of the pandemic, where they weren't in school, so my wife and I would discuss how our children were getting exposed to quite a bit of information flowing through this home. You know, everybody's all over the place, and everybody's, so I bought, my office, my study, shares a wall with one of my children. So I bought that child for Hanukkah noise-canceling headphones. So she said to me, what do I need noise-canceling headphones? I don't fly, what is this for? I said, it's for me, noise-canceling headphones. So the walls have ears, so you don't have conversations like that. Ela basada. So you see, the Gemara respects the concept of human privacy, the concept of dignity, of keeping things, the concept that things should remain where they should be. Confidentiality. Amar Ravada Barava, my krova, Yishlach Yaakov, Vayikra Liracha, Vulea, Sada Otsono. We even have a situation in the Torah where Yaakov brings his wives out to the Sada to discuss the plan to leave the house of Lavan for this very reason, the importance of confidentiality. Importance of preserving people's confidence. Tanya, to keeping in confidence, what people share with us. Tanya, Amar Rav Gamliel, b'shosh dvarim oev anias aparsiyim. There are three things I really like the parsiyim for. What is that? Ein tznuin b'achilasan. They are very modest in how they eat. They eat with dignity. Ein tznuin b'beis akise. They are very modest in how they deal with relieving themselves. Ein tznuin b'dover acher. And they're modest in another manner. What's that other manner? Rashi says, tashmish. In their sexual behavior, they conduct themselves in a tsanua way. So anitzi vesi limukdoshai tani Rabbi Yosef. This pasuk is talking about the destruction of Babel and Paras, a ton of Yosef, Parsim, Mekdashim, Mizanim, Legehenim. Should know, you know, you may like certain aspects of this, but at the end of the day, as a whole, as a nation, they are compromised in terms of their integrity. Rabbi Gamliel Omer. Okay, now we're back to the halacha part. So just let's turn to the Mishnah for one moment so that we could just reacquaint ourselves. It's been a while since we looked at this Mishnah. And the Mishnah said, right, Ve'emasai karna shema ba'arvi, when you read shema, and the Mishnah said, "B'shash shakan mitchnasim lechov b'chumas mashal shem shuri rishon." And the Rebbe Eliezer, you do it from tzeisa kochavim, night shema, until the ashmura rishona. That's the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. That was the portion of the night. The chachamim omrim, and the chachamim said, "Till when? Till chatzos." Not just a third into the night, until halfway into the night. After chatzos, after halfway through the night, you can't say kriya shema lamita anymore. Rabbi Gamliel, Amar Rabbi Gamliel says, no, ad sheya'ale amud hashachar, until dawn. Dawn is the earliest time that we deal with in the morning. Neitzachama, which is sunrise, is after dawn. Dawn is the earliest time. And the Gemara, actually the next Mishnah is going to start telling us how we know exactly when all these times are. And then the Mishnah told a story, right? So Gamliel says you go all the way till dawn. His children went to a party. We didn't say Kriya Shema. They came back, I guess, after midnight. He says to them, if we haven't gotten to Amar HaShachar, then you still have to go ahead and read, because he argues on the Chachamim who say till Chatzos. Then the Mishnah said, not only this, but everything that the Chachamim said till Chatzos, really you can do it till Amar HaShachar. It's just that they said Chatzos so that you would not push and do it so late. So let's go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So here it is, everyone. Here's the big reveal. Halacha ke Rabban Gamliel. The halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, that you could say Kriya Shema Lamita all the way till Amud HaShachar. Right? The whole night. So Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. See, in our, you know, in the world of the Gemara, being very productive for long hours of the night was not so common because there was no light, you know? So everything had to be candle lit or kerosene, whatever, you know, however they, lanterns, whatever they would use. Today, that we have so much functionality late at night, simply by virtue of the fact that we have electricity, so it's very common to all of a sudden turn around. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and you realize you didn't have marv. You didn't say kriya shema shel arvis. It happens, right? So can you still daven after chatzos? So lechachil you should daven before chatzos. If you forgot, if you didn't do it, can you still say kriya shema shel arvis? So halacha zakher begamliyo. Tanya, we learned in a brayso. Shimon ben Yochai Omer. So here's Rav Shimon ben Yochai. So Rav Shimon ben Yochai says the following. Pa'amim she'adam kore kriya shema. You could have a scenario, follow me, you could have a scenario where a person reads kriya shema, shtei pa'amim balayla, two times at night. Achas kodim she'al amud ha'shachar, bi'achas le'achas she'al amud ha'shachar. One time before amud ha'shachar, and one time right after Amud HaShachar. V'yotzei ba'en yidei chovaso, achas shel yom v'achas shel laila. So think about it. And they could fulfill both their Kriya Shema of the morning and their Kriya Shema of nighttime. So let's say Amud HaShachar is 6 a.m. So you realize, for whatever reason, you don't have a lot of time to devote to Shema. So at 5:55, you're going to read Shema. That'll be Kriya Shema shel Arvis. 6 o'clock, Zmanim.com says, is Amar HaShachar. Even though it's not yet Neitzachama, which is sunrise, it's still not really the daytime yet, you're going to say right after Amar HaShachar, Shema again, two Shemas right in a row, and you'll be able to do it. I'm sure I told you guys the story 100 times of my first Hoshana Rabbah in the shul, when the morning minion put out a calendar that said, davening for Hoshana Rabbah is going to be at 4:45. It was one of those years where it was very, very early. They were determined to finish by 7 o'clock because of a train. And that's what the calendar said. So I called the guy up, who was in charge of the minyan. And I said, what is 4:45? It's not even Alos HaShachar. So he says, no, we have to finish by 7 o'clock. I said, I appreciate that, but the timing doesn't work. You're going to have to finish after 7 o'clock. He said to me, no, but Rabbi, there's so much to say on Oshana Rabbah. You have Shira Kovet and Shira Yichud and the long thing and the seven Oshanos. I said, I'm sorry, but that's the din, you know? So he says to me, well, is there anything we could say before Amar HaShachar? Can we say Anim Zmiros? Can we say Birchas HaShachar? Can we start something so that we're already, you know, ahead of the game? I said, no. I said, you can't say anything before Amar HaShachar. He said, is there anything we could say before Amar HaShachar? I said, you know what you could say before Amar HaShachar? He said, what? I said, Mayriv. You could daven Mayriv. So then he got it. Then he said to me, okay, I got it. It's nighttime. I said, yeah, it's nighttime. So this is exactly this case of the Gemara. I said, you could make in Pesach the first Mayriv Shachris Minyan. You know, instead of having Mincha Mayriv, Daven Mincha Gedola, and then make the Mayriv Shachris Minyan. So instead, so obviously that's not Lechachila, because we want to finish by Chatzos. But in theory, such a thing would be possible. So that's the Gemara's scenario. Now, the Gemara analyzes the statement. The statement's a strange statement, because what the statement said was, Ha-gufa kasha. It says, well, hold on, back up. It's a cute little thing you set up here with the timing, but your formulation makes no sense. Pa'amim, Amarta, you said, Pa'amim sha'adim kari kriyashma shtei pa'amim balayla. You said there are times that you could say kriyashma two times at night. Alma la'achar she'ya'ale amar ha'shachar laylahu. It sounds like, by implication, that after amar ha'shachar, that is considered layla. That's considered nighttime. That's what it sounds like, right? That until neitzachama, it's still nighttime, because you just said you're saying it twice at night. The hadar tani, and then in the very same breath, you said, yotze bahen yedei chovaso, achas sho'yom ve'achas sho'layla. Alma Yomamo. And then in the very same breath, you said, you should know, even though you're saying it twice at night, your Yotze, the mitzvah of both Kriyashma Shel Arvis and Kriyashma Shel Shachris. Your Yotze, you fulfill both the Shema of the nighttime and the Shema of the daytime. That sounds like the period of time between Alos HaShachar, between dawn, and Neitzachama, which is sunrise, is considered daytime. So which is it? In your characterization of this cute situation, you are relating to that period of time as night. But in your instructions of what halachically you fulfill, you clearly are registering that time as day. So which is it? So the Gemara says, Lo le'olam leilahu. When we said you could say Kriya Shema twice at night, we were using the colloquial, because in all other aspects of halacha, it is considered night. Dawn until sunrise is really considered halachically night. For many, many halachos, korbanos, tzitzis, all sorts of halachos, it's considered nighttime. However, v'hadikari le'yom, except Kriya Shema is an exception. Even though Kriya Shema is supposed to be done at night in the day, it's not really related to as night and day. What is it related to as? When you go to sleep and when you get up. So since some people awaken at dawn, right? Like me this morning. So since some people wake at dawn, therefore you could say Kriya Shema then. So objectively, halachically speaking, it is called night. And that's why we referred to it as night. But in the context of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya Shema shel Arvis and Shel Shachris, it is considered ubekumecha. It's considered when you get up. And therefore, it is mutter. And so Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina says, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. You could do this. If you had a reason to do this, you could do this. Then there's a whole other version of this. The other version of this is going to sound very similar with one very big difference. There are those that say this whole Rav Acha Bar Chanina, Ahad D'Tanya Rishon Ben Yochai, Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva, that Pa'amim there are times, She'adim Kore Kriya Shema, Shtei Pa'amim Bayom. New statement. There are times you could read Kriya Shema twice during the day. Well, how are you using it twice during the day? Achas kodem neitzachama, one time before the neitzachama, in between dawn and sunrise. The achas la'achar neitzachama, and one time after neitzachama, after sunrise. The yotze be'an chobaso achas shayom v'achas shalaylon. You could be yotze the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, the mitzvah of saying the Shema in the daytime, and the mitzvah of saying the Shema in the nighttime. So the Gemara says the same calculation, the same critique. Hagufa, I don't understand. Hagufa kasha, you say it makes no sense. Amar tapam sha'adam kara Kriya Shema shtei pam b'yom. You said in introducing this whole situation that there are times a person can read Kriya Shema twice during the day. Alma called him Neitzachama, Yimamahu. So that shows you that before Neitzachama, we refer to the period of time in between dawn and sunrise as daytime, because you said you could say it twice during the day, and then you yourself, and then you yourself said that in satisfying the halakhic requirements of reciting the Shema, that by doing this shtick, you can go ahead and fulfill both the mitzvah of Kriya Shema at night and the mitzvah of Kriya Shema in the morning. And if that's true, then Tani Yosef Yekhoshav Achashalayla Amalelu. If that's true, then this period of time is night. Now the two Brysas also sort of argue on each other, right? Because the presumption of Brysa 1 is that in order to chop the night, you have to be before Alos HaShachar, and then after Alos HaShachar, before Nates, you could chop the day, right? And the Chiddush is that even though halachically it's nighttime, that could be considered day for Kriya Shema because it's ubikumecha, it's when you get up. The second brisa assumes that, no, the second brisa assumes that you do this transversing Neitzachama. So after dawn, before Neitzachama, is considered nighttime, which is not what the other brisa said. And that's considered nighttime because lo la'olam yimamahu, even though it's halachically day, so why is it called night? Because some people are still sleeping at that time. So it's still called Bishachbecha. So this is the debate between the two brises. Do we view the period of time between Alos and getting up as where already some people are still sleeping then, and some people are just getting up then? So do we refer to that time as Bishachbecha, as really when people are sleeping? So even though it's really daytime, you could still say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Or do we view that even though it's still nighttime, you could still say the Chiddush is Kriya Shema Shel Shachris because it's already considered Bikumecha? So these are the two different versions of this conversation. Obviously it has implications. But the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Acha, but Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Shum and Levi, Halacha Kerab Shum Bar Yochai, Sh'omar Mishum Rabbi Akiva. That we follow the opinion of Shum Bar Yochai, that was said Mishum Rabbi Akiva. That it's mutter to say Kriya Shema between Alos and Nates, Kriya Shema Shal Arvis, even though it's really halachically the beginning of daytime. You could still say Kriya Shema Shal Arvis. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zeir, B'vad Shal Yomar Ashkivenu. You could say Kriya Shema then, but you can't say the bracha of Hashkivenu. Because even if you want to say that some people, Bishas Adchak, are sleeping, then Hashkivenu is a bracha about going to sleep. You can't say that people are, it's a Zman Shchiva, right? It's not a Zman of going to sleep. It's just Bidiyevit. He asked Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosei, why isn't the Karban, so the Gemara wants to know, why isn't the Karban Pesach part of that list? Why is the Korban Pesach part of the list? For a mini, I'll ask you a contradiction. Kriya Shema Arvis v'halo b'leil psachim v'achilas Pesach mitzvah san shi'alo raman shachar. The offering of the Korban Pesach, Kriya Shema, halel on Pesach night, the eating of the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach was slaughtered the afternoon of Erev Pesach. Okay? It was then eaten the night of Erev Pesach. It had to be fully consumed by, we'll see exactly when. I don't want to spoil the debate. But essentially, by Chatzos, we try to consume it. And then, anything that's left over has to be burnt by the morning. Okay, so the Gemara says that the at least the achilas korban pesach mikra din ad shel amar hashachar. So if that's true, how come that wasn't included in this list? So Amar Rav Yosef says, Rav Yosef, well, kasha, it's not a question. Ha, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, ha, Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah in Brachos that does not include Korban Pesach is following the opinion of Elazar ben Azariah. And the Braisa that we're about to read that does include Korban Pesach is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What's that Braisa? The Tanya learns in a Braisa, the Achlus HaBasar B'Layla Hazeh, you eat the Basar on this night. Elazar ben Azariah, Omer Elazar ben Azariah says, Nemar Kan B'Layla Hazeh. It says by the Korban Pesach, the Pesach sacrifice, this night. V'nemer lahalon, and it says by Yisias Mitzrayim bi'avarti be'eres Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh, that Hashem went all throughout Mitzrayim on this night, killing the firstborn. Malahalon ad chatzos, avkan ad chatzos. Just like that happened until chatzos, until midnight, so too this happens. So too the Korban Pesach has to be eaten by midnight. That's the opinion of Elazar ben Azariah. So Amar Lei Rabbi Akiva, and that is why our Mishnah says, does not include Korban Pesach. It's following Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that you really have the whole night. Amar le Rabbi Akiva, look for a number b'chipazon. I'm sorry, the other way around. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, nema kan b'layla hazeh, nema l'hala b'rotu b'esu b'layla hazeh, nema l'hala ad chatzos, av kan ad chatzos. Just like the killing of the firstborn, Makas Bechoros happens till chatzos, so too the Korban Pesach until chatzos, not till amud hashachar. And that's why it's not included in the list of Hector Chalav and Ve'evarim that is permitted until Alos HaShachar. Just you should do it by Chatzos because we're worried that you'll come to do it too long. It's not included in that list because fundamentally it must be consumed by midnight because it's linked to the Makas Bechoros. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Vavel Kvar Nemar B'Chipazon. The word Chipazon is used in association with the Korban as well. Ad Shas Chipazon, until the moment of Chipazon. What's the moment of Chipazon? With haste, they left. When did they leave? They leave in the morning. They leave Mitzrayim in the morning. They needed at least a few hours to pack, right? They needed, and other things, as we'll see. So, MK Matam Lomer Balayla. Okay, so Ad Shas Chipazon. And that's the answer. That's how it divides. Our Mishnah follows Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Im Kane, if that's true, Ma Talmud Lomar Balayla. So if that's true, so why does it say the word Balayla? If you're telling me you have all the way till the daytime, till the Chipazon. Yachol Yehei Nechal Kekodshim. So he says, I might think that it's just like Kodshim B'yom. I might think it's like regular Kodshim. In other words, you sacrifice the Korban Pesach B'yom. Then you eat it B'yom. Ubalayla, you can eat it on Erev Pesach, and you can eat it on Pesach night itself. Talmud Lomar Balayla, says Rabbi Kiva, that's why it has to say Balayla. Balayla hu nechal velo bayom. A Laila, it has to be eaten and not by day. Bishlam Elazar ben Azariah, I understand according to Elazar ben Azariah, who said that we go only until Chatzos, the Isle Gzeirah Shava, there's a Gzeirah Shava. There's a word here, there's a word there. Itzrich lemechav lehazeh, and that's how you make the connection, because it says balayla hazeh for Korban Pesach, and it says balayla hazeh for Makas Bechoros, el Rabbi Akiva, but according to Rabbi Akiva, this has nothing to do with Makas Bechoros, because we're allowing you to eat the Korban Pesach all the way till the moment of Chipazon. Chipazon's already in the morning. That's when they're going to leave. So Chipazon's already in the morning, and that's when they're going to leave. According to Rabbi Akiva, Hai Hazeh my Avid Leh. What does Hazeh give you? So I know why I need Laila. I need Laila to tell you, you have to eat it at night, you can't eat it the day before. But why do I need Halaila Hazeh? Right? Why do I need Hazeh? So, Lime'ute Laila Acherhu. It's to exclude another night. Oh, what does that mean? Da'asa, that's coming. Why would I think another night? What other night? So, I might have thought, oh, but Pesach Kachim Kalim, Mishlam Kachim Kalim. There are different levels of Korbanos. Korbanos can be Kachim Kachim. They have to be eaten only in the Pesach Migdash. It can be Kachim Kalim. It can be in Yerushalayim. Korban Pesach is Kachim Kalim. So, since it's Kachim Kalim, normally, just like a Shlamim, Korban Shlamim, a sacrifice of Shlamim that's Kachim Kalim, Nechol L'Shnei Yamim V'Laila Echad, is eaten for 2 days and one night. Af Pesach, so to Pesach, Nechal shtei leilos b'makom beiz yamim v'nechal beiz leilos v'yom echad. So he says the Korban Pesach should follow this same paradigm. It may not be 2 days and one night, because we've already established with the word Laila that you can't start eating the Korban Pesach in the daytime. So what we'll do is we'll do 2 nights and 1 day. So you shech the Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach. That night, you begin eating. You could eat that night. You could eat the next day. You could eat the following night. And at the end of that night, it ends. And that's it. So says Rabbi Akiva, how do you know that's not how it works? Balayla hazeh. It only goes until the end of this night, and it is not associated with the paradigm of the Korban Shlamim, where you get multiple days. Kamash malon, balayla hazeh hu nechal. The eno nechal belayla acher. You can't eat it any other night. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, he used halayla hazeh for the original gzera shava, that you can't eat it even after chatzos, even after midnight. So what does he do with balayla hazeh? What does he do? How does he know that you don't compare it to the Korban Shlamim? Rabbi Akiva knows you don't compare it to the Korban Shlamim because we have balayla hazeh this night, no other nights. But Elizabeth Azariah used balayla hazeh to tell you you could only eat it until chatzos, just like Makas Bechoros is only until chatzos. So what does Rabbi Elizabeth Azariah do with this seemingly intuitive connection between the Korban Pesach and the Korban Shlamim, that they're both Kachim Kalim, that really you should have multiple days? So, Milosa Siru ad Boker Nafka. No. Don't forget, the Pasuk also says you can't leave any over until the morning. The morning's the next morning. So there's no discussion that doesn't get off the ground that you have multiple days. Rabbi Akiva. So why can't Rabbi Akiva learn it out from there? If Rabbi Akiva learns it out from there, then he doesn't need a hazeh to learn it out from there, and that opens up hazeh. So, hav amina, my boker, boker sheni. Rabbi Akiva says, no, what do you mean? Los asir mimenu ad boker could have meant the second morning. Because remember we said, you'd shech the Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach, you'd eat it that night, you'd eat it the next day, you'd eat it the next night, and then, halayla hazeh tells you, you can't eat it further than that. So no, you have boker. Maybe boker means boker sheni. So Rabbi Akiva says, my boker sheni. So maybe boker means boker sheni. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and Rabbi Eliezer says, Omer lecha, kol boker rishon hu. Every boker is boker rishon. And that's how these discussions in the Gemara always end. At some point you reach an ambiguous phrase, where each one just stakes their claim. So for Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, the Korban Pesach is eaten until Chatzos. It's not eaten. It's not given the amount of extra days because of its similar relationship to Korban Shlamim. It's not given those extra days because the Torah explicitly says you can't leave it over for the morning. And morning means the next morning. Rabbi Akiva says, not so pasha mean morning means the next morning. Morning might mean a morning, the morning after that morning, the next day morning. So for Rabbi Akiva, how do I know that that's not true? Balayla hazeh. What does it really has Ben Azariah do with the layla hazeh? He used the layla hazeh for the Korban Pesach. Okay, for the limitation to chatzos. Bahani tanai. And these Tanaim, Kehani Tanaim, they're similar to another group of Tanaim. The Tanaim led to the Brisa, Sham Tizbach is a Pesach, Ba'erev Kivo HaShemesh Miv'ad Mitzrayim Mitzrayim. You offer the Korban Pesach, and it mentions three different times in this Pasuk. It mentions the Erev, the afternoon, Kivo HaShemesh, the night, V'ad Tzeischom Mitzrayim, that's already the next morning. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Ba'erev HaTzaveach, you shecht it in the morning. You shechted it in the evening. Ukevo Hashemesh, and when the sun goes down, ata ochel, that's when you could eat it. Umevad seischom in Mitzrayim ata soreif, and from when you leave Mitzrayim, you burn. It's unclear when you have to stop eating, but it's clear it can't be kept longer than when they left Mitzrayim. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Rabbi Yoshua says, "But erev atazoveach, at night, in the evening before an erev Pesach, you shecht, you slaughter it. Kivoa shemesh, when the sun goes down, ata ochel, that's when you eat it at night. V'ad masai ata ochel v'holech, until when do you eat it? Ad mo'ad seischa mitzrayim, until you left Mitzrayim, until they leave the actual Mitzrayim." From the fact, Rashi says, that the second opinion in the Brisa clarifies when you have to stop eating, and there are two opinions, that means that the first opinion in the Brisa, which was Rabbi Eliezer, meant you have to burn it, you have to get rid of it, you can't leave any over past the morning, but the eating has to stop already at Chatzos. So here we have, very explicitly, another Machlokas Tanoim. Until when can the Karban Pesach be eaten? Can it be eaten till Chatzos? Can it be eaten even until we get out? And then the Gemara adds a nice concept here. Amar Rav Ava, Hakomo, everybody agrees, Kishinigolu Yisrael in Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people were redeemed from Mitzrayim, lo nigolu ela be'erev. Everyone agrees they were redeemed be'erev. Shenemar Otziach Hashem in Mitzrayim, Laila, they were taken out of Laila. Because Yotzu lo Yotzu ela biyom, the Geula happened at night. The Yetziah happened in the day. Shenemar, meaning the redemption happened at night, and the actual emancipation didn't happen till the daytime. Shenemar mimachras haPesach Yotzu bnei Yisrael, from the day after the Karban Pesach, which is the next morning, the Jewish people actually go biyad ramah with great strength. Ama nechleku. So what are they really arguing about? Al shas chipazon. On what is the moment of chipazon, of freedom? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, "Ramai chipazon, chipazon de Mitzrayim." Rabbi Akiva said, "Ramai chipazon, chipazon de Yisrael." So what is considered the freedom? Is the freedom being free of the oppression of the Egyptians? That happened at midnight when Hashem struck down their firstborn and they said, "Get out of here." Or is the chipazon of Yisrael, when the Jewish people actually walked out and they were free? Not when the Mitzrim gave them permission, when the Jewish people were free. Tanya Nami Hachi, and we see this in a Braisa, Otsiach Hashem Elokecha Mitzrayim Laila. The Pasuk says that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim at night. Bechi Laila Yatzu, did they go out at night? Well, Yatzu Ela B'yom, they went out the next day. Shenemar Machras HaPesach Yatzu B'nei Yisrael B'yad Ramah. Right? They went out the next day. That's the Pasuk says, that the day after the Korban Pesach, the Jewish people went out with strength. Elamelame, this comes to teach us, Sheshchilo lahem geula mebe'erev, that the geula started at night. So Rav Kook writes, we see from here, the redemption has two stages. Very important fundamental yisod. If you're going to take one thing out of this whole back and forth about the Korban Pesach, the real question is, what was the defining moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Was it the removal of the oppression of the Mitzrim? Or was it the Jewish people actually, from their own initiative, walking out of the land? What do these two stages represent? They represent the two elements of Shibut that exist within a person. When a person is enslaved, there are two aspects to that slavery. One is whatever external force is restraining the individual. And the other is the slave identity that they have internalized as who they actually are. And in order to be redeemed, two things need to happen. We need to release whatever oppressive energy is restraining an individual from living a fulfilling and redeemed life. And then the individual themselves needs to internalize that new reality and actually live that reality. And there's so much research about prisoners who are freed, who are never really able to adjust to that freedom. They're never able to adjust to that freedom, even though it's so hard to understand, because they don't internalize. Even the notion that we know is very common amongst survivors, that the way they relate to food, the way they relate to, not just from trauma, because in a certain way, the oppression, the trauma was so deep that the oppression may have been lifted, but the internalization of what it means to be a prisoner, that requires an individual to move forward themselves. So that's the question. What is the Korban Pesach really about? Is the Korban Pesach about the beginning of the redemption? when we're released from Mitzrayim, or is it really about the culmination of the redemption when the Jewish people ultimately move forward? What time do we finish? Can we make a run for the Mishnah, or is that okay?
Whatever you want.
Not whatever I want. I know there's a Hakpada. Another 3-4 minutes? Let's make a run for the Mishnah. And this way we're mostly through Daf Tes. So the Gemara says the following. Right? Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to speak. Please, he says to Moshe. Daber no. I want you to speak, please, to the Jewish people. I want you to tell them that we're gonna take them out of Mitzrayim. So Amr Deber Rav Yanai. So he says the house of Rav Yanai, Ein no elu lashim bakasha. The word no always means bakasha. It means please. Request. It's a request. I'm not telling you must do this. I'm asking you to do this. Hashem said to Moshe, "Bevakasha, with request, meaning please, mimecha from you, lech ve'amor liYisrael, go say to the Jewish people, vakasha mikhem, that I am requesting of you, shalu mimitzrayim kli kesef kli zav, borrow from the Mitzrim vessels of gold and vessels of silver. Shelo yomar." Why is that? And then he's going to let them leave Mitzrayim with it. That's its own discussion, which we're not going to get into now. Why we were allowed to take these things that we borrowed and never return them. It's a big discussion. But why do they have to leave rich? That's the question. So, because of Oso Tzadik. Who's Oso Tzadik? Abraham. Okay, Rashi says. What happened with Abraham? Hashem promised Abraham in the Bris Bein HaBesorim, Va'avdum, your children are going to serve. V'inu Osam, they're going to oppress them. Kayim Bahem. That Hashem, you were Mekayim. They went through hundreds of years of servitude and oppression. But one of the promises of the Bris Bein HaBesorim is that they're going to leave with great wealth, great power. Lo Kayim Bahem, that you did not fulfill. So Amru Lo, so therefore, that you didn't fulfill. Therefore, you have to take stuff with you. The way Rav Kook explains this in his Ein Ayah is that in order for the Jewish people to fully accomplish their purpose, which was to spread the values of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the world had to perceive them as having stature and as having substance. And therefore, it was necessary that as part of that experience, they would leave Mitzrayim with the power of wealth. So we could discuss that at great length another time. The Levi Shenetze Ba'atzmenu. So Moshe said to him, you know, that's very nice that Avram wants us to leave with money. But the Jewish people, we've been slaves for all these years. We would be happy to just get out of here alive. Mashal Adam, it's a parable to a person, Shayachavish Besh Asurim, who's trapped in a prison. While you're Avram alone, they say to him, B'nei Adam, Otzien Osah, Osach L'machar, Mi Besh Asurim, we're going to remove you from the prison tomorrow. V'dostin L'chamam on Harbi, we're going to give you a lot of riches. V'omer Lehem, they say to him, V'vakasham Michem, listen, Hotziani ayom ve'enim avakish klum. Just take me out today and don't give me anything. Don't bring me promises of tomorrow, you know? In other words, when a person is chalishing for their freedom, do they really care about their possessions? Ve'yishalum, so it says that they borrowed them. Amar avami melamed shishulam bal karcham. Teaches us that they borrowed them, sort of borrowed, kind of forcefully. What does that mean, forcefully? The Mitzrim. Some say because they were very pressuring to the Mitzrim to take their objects, that it was Bar Korchim of the Mitzrim. The Ikadamri, and some say Bar Korchim to Yisrael. The Jews didn't really want to do this, and it was against the will of the Jews. That's what it means, Bar Korchim. Ma'adam or Bar Korchim to Mitzrim, Dechsiv, V'nog Bayis Tichalek Shalol. The ones that say it was the Mitzrim is because, again, they would force them. However, Ma'adamar Bal Korchim to Yisrael Mishum Masoi. What's of the Bal Korchim of the Jewish people? They didn't want to carry all this stuff with them through the desert to Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem felt that this was an important part of Yitzias Mitzrayim. But Yinatzu was a Mitzrim, and they emptied the Mitzrayim. Amar Abami Melamed Shaso Kemitzudu She'en Bodagon. It was like a trap with no grain. To trap birds with no grain. It was empty. Like the depths of the ocean that are empty of fish. Imagery that describes the void that was left once the Jewish people were gone. Eya asher eya. In Hashem's conversation with Moshe, he says to Moshe, Eya asher eya. What will be is what will be. Moshe asks Hashem for a simon or a sign or who he is, what he could share with the Jewish people. Eya asher eya. Amar le'akosh baruch hu Moshe. So Hashem saying to Moshe, Lech emor lahem liYisrael, ani ayisi imachem b'shibud zev, ani ehaya imachem b'shibud malchios. Tell the Jewish people, I am Hashem. I am with them in this service, in this servitude, in this oppression, and I'll be with them in all the future golios. Eya asher eya. So Amar lefanav. So Moshe says to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, daya tzar le'bishata. I don't think people really want to hear that there are going to be more goluses. Like, why don't we just tell them that you're here now and leave it at that? I don't know that this is so encouraging. So Amar Leah Kadosh Baruch Hu Leich Amar Lehem Eya Shalachani Aleichem. So say, tell them, okay, tell them that I will be with them as I am sending you to redeem them. Aneni Hashem Aneni, the pasuk says, with regards to Eliyahu discrediting the Nevi'e Abal. Amar Avavo Lama Amar Eliyahu Aneni Beis Pamim. Why say Aneni twice? Malamich Amar Eliyahu Lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Eliyahu says before Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbo Shalom Hashem. Aneni, I want you to answer me, Shetere Deish Min HaShamayim, because Eliyahu HaNavi was competing against the evil prophets from the king Achav, and he was going to do a miracle to show who was right. So he said to Hashem, I need you to do this miracle. The fire has to come down from Shamayim, V'tochel kol asher ala mizbeach, consume all that's on the altar. V'aneni, and I also need you to answer me, Shetaseach datam kedei shelo yomru ma'isek shofim, that people will focus on it and they won't say it's just sorcery. You know, very often when it comes to miracles, so it requires both. It requires the miracle itself, and then aneni Hashem aneni, and then also it requires people to acknowledge the source of the miracle, to acknowledge the purpose of the miracle, to acknowledge it as a miracle. And that's also part of the part of the narrative. Eya Asher Eya, I think it's in the Eish Kodesh, where he writes that Hashem was telling Moshe, this is the identity of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that I want you to relate to the Jewish people, that sometimes we relate to Hashem, Eya Asher Eya, that God is a future, God is always not defining things based on where they are. Kodesh Baruch Hu is always defining things based on where they are going. And so therefore, the Kodesh Baruch Hu that you relate to in the midst of tzara can't just be that Kodesh Baruch Hu of the tzara itself. It's a source of hope. It's a source of aspiration. It's a source for a better future. Okay? Shkoyach, everyone.